Gopiranavalava Girivaradari. Gopiranavalava Girivaradari. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayo Radha Madhava. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayo Radha Madhava, Jayo Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Jayo Radha Madhava. Jayo Jayo Pancha Tattva, Jayo Pancha Tattva, Jayo Pancha Tattva, Jayo Pancha Tattva. Jayo Jagannatha, Jayo Jagannatha, Jayo Baladeva, Jayo Subhadra, Jayo Jagannatha. Jayo Prahlad Nisimho, Jayo Prahlad Nisimho, Prahlad Nisimho, Jayo Narahari. Jayo Prahlad Nisimho, Prahlad Nisimho. Jayo Jayo Prabhupada, Jayo Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jayo Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jayo Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Haribo, Haribo. Haribol, Nitai Gaura Haribol, Nitai Gaura Haribol, 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 Haribol. Shri Shri Radha Madhava Sattva Ki Jai, Shri Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Shishi Nishipalani Shimati Bhagavan Ki Jai, Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Iska Guru Vrinda Ki Jai, Samvita Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Intai Gaura Vanande, Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet. I'm going to read from reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text Number 40. vrajanstishtan padaikena yataivaikena gacchati yatatrina jalaukaivam dehi karma gatim gataha vrajanstishtan padaikena yataivaikena gacchati yathatrina jalaukaivam dehi karma gatim gataha vrajanstishtan padaikena yataivaikena gacchati yathatrina jalaukaivam dehi karma gatim gataha. Dehi karma gatim gataha. Dehi karma gatim gataha. Vrajantishtan padaikena yataivaikena gacchati karma gatim gataha. Vrajantishtan padaikena yataivaikena gacchati yatatrina jalaukaivam dehi karma gatim gataha vrajanstishtan padaikena yataivaikena gacchati yatatrina jalaukaivam dehi karma gatim gataha. Ladies, vajantishtan paraikena yataivaikena gacchati yatatrina jalaukaivam dehi karma gatim gataha. Vrajan, a person, while traveling on the road. Tishtan, while standing. Pada ekena, on one foot. Yatha, as. Eva, indeed. Ekena, by another foot. Gacchati, goes. Yatha, as. Trina jalauka, a worm on the vegetable. Evam, in this way. Dehi, the living entity. Karma gatim, the reactions of fruitive activities. Gataha, undergoes. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Just as a person traveling on the road rests one foot on the ground and then lifts another, or as a worm on the vegetable transfers itself to one leaf and then gives up the previous one, the conditioned soul takes shelter of another body and then gives up the one he had before. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the process of soul's transmigration from one body to another. At a time of death, according to his mental condition, the living being is carried by the subtle body, consisting of mind, intelligence, and ego, to another gross body. When the higher authorities have decided what kind of gross body the living entity will have, he is forced to enter such a body, and thus he automatically gives up his perverse body. Dull-minded persons who do not have the intelligence to understand this process of transmigration take for granted that when the gross body is finished, one's life is finished forever. Such persons have no brains with which to understand the process of transmigration. At the present moment, there is a great opposition to Hare Krishna movement, which is being called a brainwashing movement. But actually, the so-called scientists, philosophers, and other leaders in the Western countries have no brains at all. The Hare Krishna movement is trying to elevate such foolish persons by enlightening their intelligence so that they will take advantage of human body. Unfortunately, because of the gross ignorance, they regard the Hare Krishna movement as brainwashing movement. They do not know that without God consciousness, one is forced to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Because of their devilish brains, they will next be forced to accept an abominable life and practically never be able to liberate themselves from the conditioned life of material existence. How this transmigration of the soul takes place, it is very clearly explained in this verse. Agyanatimrendasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurum nitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So somebody might come up with the point that the Vedic scriptures are redundant. Redundant means some topic coming up again and again. And somebody would question why in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we study after we are already self-realized, still we are talking about transmigration of body, which is the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the first study. So yeah, this happens because there are two kinds of Vedic literatures are there. One we refer to as Shastra, and other one is as a Purana. And the difference is, the Shastra would go step by step, establish different points, define everything. Then after that, with the definitions, then it would go into one subject matter, then based on that, would go for a second subject matter, and step by very systematically would establish something. The Puranas are functioning on different system. They are also systematical, but they're functioning a different system. They're functioning on the basis of repetition. And the repetition is very important because sometimes we forget. So as we keep reading, then we remember. Oh, yes, don't forget. Maybe we think that we are already liberated, but don't forget, there's a transmigration of the body. So yes, we must focus on Krishna consciousness. Then other element, why it is being repeated each time, because each time the repetition is done in connection with a different topic. That is called Sangati. Sangati means connection. So what happens? This time this transmigration is connected to politics. How to convince somebody to have one thing in one hand and one thing in other hand, and if you get here something, then you give up this one. So here, Vasudeva have a difficult situation where Kamsa is about to kill his sister, Devaki, because he heard from the sky, anonymous voice, of course, that he will be killed by Devaki's 8th son. So now Vasudeva have a difficulty because one side Kamsa having Devaki in his hand. So then he have to give him something like the child, you give him one toy and the other one he drops. So basically you have to give him something which making him to release Devaki. And you will see on the end, he is successful because of his character. He will start with the transmigration of the body, then he talks about frustration of materialist because of the different modes of material nature. So there are different difficulties come up in life. And then there is no guarantee anyway. He always comes up with there is no guarantee. That is no guarantee that Devaki's 8 children will be a son anyway. Maybe it's going to be a daughter. We don't know. And it's a future. Future can bring up so many things. Nothing is fixed. So it might happen, might not happen. And in any case, Vasudeva says that I will give my children and present them in front of you. So then if you want, you can kill them also. And because Vasudeva was very truthful, he never spoke a lie in his life. So therefore comes anew. Vasudeva says something, he will do. Because Vasudeva was a gentleman. There's another shloka before, it says that what a saintly person like Vasudeva cannot do, cannot give up. And what a saintly person like Kamsa cannot, like what kind of evil action he cannot perform. That's what his shloka says. So then we can see Vasudeva, because of his very firm Krishna consciousness, he knew that Krishna will take care. As we can see later, when actually Vasudeva comes, Kamsa comes down because he hears the eight child crying. So that time Kamsa comes down, rushing down. Oh, this is the eighth child. So then Vasudeva says, this is a daughter. And then Kamsa says, anyway, just grab her. And then want to kill her. But when he want to kill her, she becomes Durga. And then tells Kamsa that you're such a fool, you know. Like that. So Krishna takes care. For sure. So Vasudeva, to protect Devaki and to ensure that Krishna will be able to come. Because if Devaki is killed, Krishna cannot come as Devaki's eighth son. So to ensure Krishna will come, Vasudeva is making this sacrifice. So like that, we can see the stability of Vasudeva here. So this transmigration here was quoted in that connection, that how politics are used in Krishna consciousness. So other thing Srila Prabhupada mentions here, that people who doesn't understand transmigration, don't want to understand transmigration, then they are not intelligent. He says they are without brains. Because the whole idea is that there's no much difference between what devotees do and what a non-devotee do. Both of them, they born, then they grow up, they have having families, then they do so many activities, they grow old, and they die. What is the difference? One is doing it for Krishna. That's the difference. And that is Krishna consciousness. And whatever we do it for Krishna. Yat karoshi rashnasi yat josi dadasi yat. Whatever you eat, give away, all must be done for me as an offering, as a service. We cook something, we offer it to Krishna. That's very common, that's everybody knows. But then we have to do everything else in the same manner. I'm sitting here not because I want to speak, I want to show how much I know. I'm here because I'm serving the devotees with this. That is my service. Sometimes we think that, oh, I'm giving class to my Guru Maharaj and teaching him Sanskrit. Oh, I'm greater than my Guru Maharaj, could say. But it's not. This is my service to my Guru Maharaj. And this is what I learned. This is what I can serve my Guru Maharaj with. So this is how we should understand whatever we do. As a service to Krishna, service to his devotees. Then we will be successful. If we not do like that, then what we not do, that will suffer. It's guaranteed. Because if he's not connected to Krishna, it will perish. If he's connected to Krishna, it will stay forever. That's also guaranteed. Connected to Krishna means it's transcendental. Transcendental never perishes. We will get old, and then all our services will be gone, but we had the connection to Krishna, and that will stay. All that what we done for Krishna will stay. Our relationship will stay. And maybe we're not going to be able to be a big manager anymore because belly can walk. Maybe we're not going to be a good singers anymore because our voice is gone. Maybe we're not going to be a bodyguard of our Guru Maharaj anymore because we are too old and too weak. But the relationship, what we offered and the develop that relationship with Krishna and the devotees and the Guru, it will stay. So therefore we have to always do all these things as a service to Krishna, a service to Guru and devotees. Then it will stay. Other thing is mentioned here, is one thing is the transmigration of the body, but it's a principle. Principle of accepting and rejecting. So the living entity cannot just give up. You always have to accept, and then he can give up. If he doesn't accept first, he cannot give up. There is a shloka says with the higher taste. So when somebody accepts the higher taste, then he gives up the lower ones. Now the thing is that there is always a higher taste in every stage of life, because that's how we function, that's how we progress. That's how the material world or even spiritual world is created. For example, there's a child, he's drinking his mother's milk. So that is everything for him, that is his food. Now what happens when he gets bigger? He's not going to drink the mother's milk. Because what happens, he has a social status with his other friends. So then other friends will joke on him. Hey, you still drinking your mother's milk? You know, like that. And then he's going to feel kind of like ashamed. Oh, maybe I shouldn't drink my mother's milk anymore. So he gives it up. But he accepts something else. He will start playing with toys. So when he gets bigger, then he doesn't play with the toys anymore. He's going to play with deities, going to study. He takes a next attachment on, or next things on, next set of items on. And he leaves them behind. Sometimes the children like to play with G.I. Joe. And then they come to Mayapur, and then they go to Gurukul, and they learn about deity worship, and they start worshipping deities. And when they go back to home, then they don't touch the G.I. Joe anymore. G.I. Joe is a toy, if somebody doesn't know, it's a toy, looks like a doll, with different kinds of dresses and whatever else, and you can move them all kinds of ways. So it's the G.I. Joe. Anyway, so he doesn't want to play with it anymore. So then he just sits in the corner. So the mother asks him, do you need this still? No, mommy, I'm not going to have time for all this. You know, I'm not going to play with it. I don't want to play with it anymore. I don't need. So then he's given up. So this way, different things in life are accepted and given up until we achieve sannyas, where everything is given up except Krishna consciousness. So at that time is only Krishna consciousness left. And of course, even then we see different sometimes positions are accepted, like temple president or GBC, or things like that, but then we understand that this only as a service to Krishna, it's nothing else. It's not that we need that position. Before that is, we have a need, therefore something is taken and engaged in Krishna service. And then, if not need anymore, we give it up. And this process of giving up is based on Sharanagati. Accepting what is favorable for Krishna consciousness and rejecting what is not favorable for Krishna consciousness. This also based on our conditioned nature. So, for example, we are Grihasthas, we have a set of things which we have to accept. I am a person who is dealing with the Prime Minister, so I should dress very, very nicely. I am a person who is dealing with woodwork, so I must wear pant and shirt to work with wood. Why? Because when I'm using the machines, I cannot have something which is hanging off my body. For example, a dhoti. A dhoti will get stuck in a machine and is dangerous. So we cannot wear dhoti when we deal with spinning machines. So, but as soon as we finish the work in the workshop, step out of the workshop, I put my dhoti on and go to the temple. Or I wear dhoti all the other time. But whenever I'm working with the machine, I wear dhoti. So like that we can see how we accept different things for a particular purpose and we reject it at a time, and then it can be back and forth, and this has to be always very consciously taught. We have to always be very conscious about these things. Why are we accepting things? Why are we rejecting things? Is it Krishna happy with that, that we're rejecting? Sometimes we heard that we shouldn't eat fancy food and then shouldn't associate with women. Now, this was accepted for, this was actually preached to Grihasthas. And I brought up the point that the shloka says, Vairagi Bhai, means, oh, person of renounced order. Means brahmacharis and sannyasis mainly, vanaprastas partially included. So they shouldn't eat fancy food. Grihasthas, they should eat nice food. And they should give food to others. Nice food. Sannyasis and brahmacharis, they may reduce that. But if we see, Srila Prabhupada is very, very strict on this, that devotees eat nice food, offer nice food to Krishna. Mahaprabhu used to eat many kinds of shak, used to eat many kinds of vegetables for lunch, rice, sweets, chutney. That was Mahaprabhu's menu. Krishna's menu is the same. We can see in the Bhogarati song, there's a whole list. Of course, we can see that Krishna is in a Grihastha environment and Mahaprabhu is in sannyasa environment. But even when he was sannyasi, he would eat nice food. He used to get packets from different devotees with different kinds of prasadam and he would eat it. Of course, sometimes he was even criticized by Amogha, what is it? Sarvam Bhattacharya's son-in-law, yeah? That, oh, why sannyas eating so nice food, you know? But then, still, he was still accepting nice food. Not that much elaborate like before when he was a Grihastha, but still, there is an amount of food which has to be there. There has to be four kinds of food, which is liquid, which is semi-solid, solid, and dry. These are the four kinds of food should be there. And the six tastes should be there also in the lunch. Not breakfast maybe, but lunch. So once a day we should have all those. Why? Because this keeps the senses peaceful. They are satisfied. Eating nice prasadam, senses are satisfied. They're not going to trouble. If we restrict the senses too much, then sometimes they go out of order. So there is the amount, this is a balance we have to see. How much we can restrict the senses, or we should restrict the senses, and how much we should actually eat, how much we engage the senses. So there is a balance, and each time of our life is going to be different. I'm sick, I will eat less. I worked very hard today, I will eat more. So this has to be always in balance, and then it works. Krishna mentions, there's a shloka, he says, yukta aravya, yukta cheshasya karmasya, yukta sapnava uresya, yoga bhavati dukha. And once, before he says, natyashnatasti yogasti, nachai kanta manashnata, nachati svapnashilasya, jagatu naiva chajana. He says, that one who eats too much, he cannot be yogi. One who eats too little, he cannot be yogi. Who sleeps too much, sleeps too little, cannot be yogi. Everything should be in balance. Then the next shloka, he says, yukta ahara means the food. And all these things, sleeping and everything, has to be in connection with Krishna. Yukta means in connection. So we take enough rest so we can do nice service. Not too much sleeping, not too little sleeping. Sometimes we neglect these things and then we suffer. We get sick and we cannot do service. We not sleep enough, not eat regular time. And then we get sick. And then we cannot do service. And sometimes we get so sick that is irreversible. We cannot get cured from it anymore. Only because we're just neglecting our body. And we have to remember this body belongs to Krishna. So we have to treat it as it's supposed to be treated. Not as convenient for us, for particular things. Sometimes we get too much, let's say, too much passionate about service, and we neglect many things. That's not proper. We have to always keep in mind what Krishna wants, Krishna likes to be, what Krishna likes, what is, how the body should be treated, or how different devotees should be treated. Sometimes we have a tendency to neglect devotees. That's also not right. Always for the higher purpose. There's no such thing as higher purpose. Krishna likes it, that's higher purpose. Krishna doesn't like it, it's not a higher purpose. We might save a little bit money, but it's not a higher purpose. Higher purpose is serving Krishna and his devotees. That is the higher purpose. And then we pleasing Krishna with our activities. So if we're not taking care of our body, our mind, then it's not going to be pleasing for Krishna. We might think, oh, I did such a big tapasya. It's not the right thing. Unless it's prescribed by the Shastras. Nijala Karashi is proper. We can do that. But we cannot do Nijala for 1 month because I want to be a big yogi. Or I stand on my sit down and just chant Hare Krishna and do nothing else. If we can do it, we can do it. If we cannot do it, we don't do it. If our mind is not satisfied by only doing chanting Hare Krishna, only chanting Hare Krishna, and we have to engage some elements there, then we have to engage those elements. And based on what needs are there in the mind, they have to be engaged. They have to be taken care. So there is a need for more activity. Oh, I'm feeling bored chanting Hare Krishna 64 rounds a day. Okay, Srila Prabhupada give us 16 rounds and the rest of the time do service to the deities. We can do so many service to the deities. We can do book distribution, we can cook for the deities, we can just clean the temple. So many services are there in ISKCON. ISKCON is just full of services. Somebody doing media, somebody doing so many other things. So we can always engage our senses in Krishna's service, but it has to be engaged. Then we are in balance. And then we will see, as we get older, the physical activities will reduce and mental activities will increase. That time we can chant 64 rounds, maybe more than 64 rounds. It's going to be easy. Why? Because there's no more passion left. I cannot do anything else anyway, so I will be only sitting there. My children will take care of the business. They will do the services. I will be sitting there next to the Charanamrita pot and the self-Charanamrita maybe. And then other time when nobody is there, just keep chanting. And somebody asks some questions about my realization about Krishna consciousness. Because I'm an old devotee, I know so many things. I will share with them. So like that. That's how it should be. There is a balance. We always have to maintain the balance. And this balance is very important. This keeps us always Krishna conscious. And then we have to be focusing on it. What we're doing is for Krishna. Is it pleasing Krishna or not? Sometimes we think, oh, that must be pleasing Krishna. But we have to recheck. Is it actually pleasing Krishna? Oh, maybe not. Maybe looking like devotional service, but still doesn't please Krishna. So we have to always see if it is what we're doing is actually pleasing Krishna. And how we can judge that? Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam show us examples. How Prithu Maharaj did. How Yashoda did. How Vasudeva did over here in this situation. He was in a very difficult situation. He didn't lie. He didn't do anything irreligious. He didn't step away from the religious path. He could have. Could have figured out something and just tell some lie to Kamsa and then run away. He didn't do that. He did go back to Kamsa with his children one by one. Because he maintained his truthfulness. You could say, oh, that is not intelligent. No, that's how it is. That's how Krishna consciousness is. What has to be done is being done. Then people trust us. People have faith in us. We're representing God. We're representing Supreme Personality of Godhead. Representing Krishna himself. Sometimes we hear that, you know, oh, we can cheat for Krishna. Maybe. But there is a reaction. So we go against Dharma, then there is a reaction always. We might think, oh, this is solving the situation. But then other problem will come up from it. because we didn't go according to how the religious way is. The scripture says there's only one way to go. There's only one road. That's me. And you can go either up or down on it. If you go towards religion, that's me. If you go against, that's against. If you're going towards, that's Radha. Going against, Aparada. The same thing, it's just the opposite direction. So we have to always consider these points. That's basically what the later cantos of Bhagavatam talk about. 11th canto, 12th canto, later chapters of Bhagavad Gita talk about. Sankhya philosophy. Analyze your situation and act on it. Every second we have to analyze the situation. Am I doing the right thing or not? Sometimes it looks like we're doing the right thing, but it's not. And we have to always analyze it. Always check. Then it will be, we always be successful. Anybody has any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu, Hare Krishna. And Prabhu, I'm back. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada said in one of his lectures, he was talking about eating prasadam, and he said that if you can digest 10 chapatis, then eat 10 chapatis. If you can only digest one chapati, just eat one chapati. Just don't eat too much or too little according to what you do. So it's just a lot of it is very, very sensible. It's like you said that when you're grihastha, you enjoy your food very much. Of course, when you get the vanaprastha and sannyas, then the body gets old and the digestion slows, and then it doesn't become enjoyable. Slowly, you can see that the material energy is withdrawing the sense taste. So that is like a natural phenomenon which we just follow.
Thank you, Will. One thing also I remember just now, as you said, Srila Prabhupada about prasadam, that one time there was one Pandal program in India, and then one of sannyasis, he was running the whole program, and then they were employing some people from outside to cook kichri for the outside people. And then it wasn't nice. It didn't come nice. Because outside cooks, they didn't have the cleanliness standards and so on and so on. So Srila Prabhupada was very, very upset. And he told him that, you know, what kind of food is this? This is not fitting even for dogs to eat. We're cooking for Krishna. We're cooking for his devotees. We must cook nice food. When I was in America, I was alone. I was cooking 10, 15 kinds of preparations alone to feed the devotees. Why you guys cannot manage when you have so many people around? How can you not manage some nice prasadam here? So that was Srila Prabhupada's point about prasadam. It's very, very heavy on it.
Since we're talking about prasadam, in the very, very beginning, when Prabhupada used to cook everything and serve to all the devotees, and he would always say, take more, take more, take more. And they'd be like, no, I'm full, I'm full. And Prabhupada said, no, take more, have more. And they just keep eating and eating and eating. Then all of a sudden, Prabhupada would stop doing that, and he wouldn't give them like more and more. He just served them one serving. So Omapati said to Swamiji, why are you not encouraging us to eat anymore as much as we were before? And Srila Prabhupada says, because now you are asking good questions.
Yeah, there was another story, similar one. They say that Srila Prabhupada said that a devotee is asking Prabhupada, I heard that being devotee, you have to do so much of pious activities in previous lives to become a devotee, according to Bhagavatam. So where is our pious activities? Did we do so many pious activities in previous life? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, I created your pious credits. Like that.
Since I got the mic, I'll just do one more. In the purport, you did mention it, but Prabhupada is such a brutal preacher. And this is in Bhagavatam, so it'll be here for, you know, millions of years maybe. And Prabhupada says that, where did it go? I lost it.
No,
oh,
right.
obviously he took offense because they were saying at the present moment there's great opposition to this Hare Krishna movement, which is being called a brainwashing movement. And obviously he didn't like that we were being called that. So he says, actually the so-called scientists, philosophers, and other leaders in the Western countries have no brains at all. I mean, that's just brutal preaching, isn't it? Like, there's no softness to that. It's like, you got no brain. So you got to love Srila Prabhupada.
Well, Krishna also thus says that, no, avajananti ma mudaha. And it keeps going on in the second chapter. Mudaha, 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 alpamedasaha. It's fools, 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 with little brain, you know, no brain, you know. Krishna also does it. So Prabhupada just following the parampara. There's no more questions, then we end the class. Grantarachyam Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Taya Gaura Brahmanande, Hari Gaura.